To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
We know what we think. What do you think? Call the fan at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
You know what's something off with the Mets? It's not about talent, because they have that. There are guys there that have been proven commodities that aren't getting it done. It's not even about just Scherzer and Verlander or those guys maybe being washed up or not what they once were because they're older. It's everybody to a man is underperforming, not getting the job done, and this is a talented team. Which leads me to think it's a lot more than just the team struggling on the surface. There's got to be something else going on. I'm not trying to speculate and cause drama, but I truly believe there is some sort of disconnect. There is some sort of malfunction taking place in that clubhouse, and I'm not sure what exactly it is. Is it a lack of chemistry? Is it a lack of guys taking accountability? Lindor's a likable guy. If you obviously the first year here was rough, but I think he's a good guy, a likable guy, a talented guy. Is he the leader in that clubhouse? Alonso, is he the leader in that club? Like, what is there a disconnect there? Is it Buck? Has he lost the team? I don't necessarily believe that. I'm just throwing out things that is there a divide somehow between the pitchers and the offense? Like I don't, something's wrong. Because there's no way a team this talented can make it this difficult to win one ball game. Ball game. Or series, for that matter. But even the wins, it's like they win one, they're winning two games every six. Can't happen. Something is off. There's something wrong with this team. Also, the mental mistakes. Where Steve Cohen himself said that that can't happen. Way too many mental mistakes. That's why you don't get caught up in the wins. Because even with a win, like against the Yankees, they play crappy. And they're lucky to win. Yeah, you'll take it as opposed to getting swept. But too many mistakes. That's why you lose to a bad team like the Cardinals. So what is going on for a team that essentially is the same as it was a year ago, players-wise? How could they be so good a year ago and that essentially same team be so bad a year later? What is the problem? Franklin is calling from Kingston. What's up, Franklin?
Hey, Sal. Congratulations on your job, first of all.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Getting on your thoughts about the Mets, big Mets fan here. I like what you're saying there about abstract. I don't know either. That's why I'm calling you right now. I'm looking at the August 1st deadline. Is that my only hope here as a Mets fan for trades, for the effort to do something?
It's not even hope. Trade what? Like, what are they going to get that's going to do something?
Right. Exactly. Yeah. It's kind of weird. Like you were saying, and I've been thinking about what you said, like, the last 2 seconds, literally. And, yeah, maybe Buck is not doing a good job. I'm just literally reacting to what you're saying right now. I don't know.
But it's not just on Buck. There's something going on. Buck, you know, they're all fooling themselves. Like, I don't know who they're kidding, but we all know what's going on. We see it. We've seen it for 3 months. And yet they continue to try to keep a brave face and say, oh, we'll be fine. You just got to play better. We got the guys here. They got the want to. Oh, I feel bad that the rewards aren't there for these guys who put the work in. I'm not saying it's a lack of effort, but it's clearly something wrong with this team.
Yeah, so that's why maybe a trade, is that the answer? I'm trying to think of a solution here.
What kind of trade are you talking about, though, Franklin?
Bring in maybe one more hitter.
They need, if anything, they need to, and thank you for the call, Franklin. We appreciate it. They need to shake it up. That's what type of trade they need. Something to shake it up. Not just a specific, oh, well, they're going to need an arm in the bullpen, and they're going to need an arm in the rotation, and maybe a bat. No, that's not going to do it. Because, again, it's not about the ancillary pieces. It's about the main guys not getting the job done. I watched the Mets play last year. I thought they were a very good team. This year I watch them, and it looks like a bunch of individuals who are struggling. Not a team, in any sense of the word. And if they are a team, it's with a bad in front of them. Bad team. But there's no accountability. And even Buck is afraid to say it. He's alluded to it. They got to be true to themselves. They right now suck. They're terrible. They're not historically bad players. They're historically good players. So what's the problem? When things go wrong, they can't figure out a way to turn it around. They're soft. Now, why is that the case? Is there no leader? Is there somebody specific that's a problem? What exactly is their issue? Jesse's calling from Queens. What's up, Jesse?
Hey, Sal. What's up? Congrats on your move. You've done a great job on the overnights, and I always love listening to you on the Mets and all that stuff. And you're going to be
thank you.
You and Moose are my favorites. So,
thank you. We appreciate that. I'll speak for Moose on this one and say we appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay, about the Mets, I think the problem might be with Lindor. I mean, he had that problem with McNeil, and some people are still saying there still might be stuff. You know, there's not unity in that clubhouse. You know, I think there's some cliques in that clubhouse, and Buck's not being real. So this is a whole big thing. But you know, you can't really change the whole team. So usually, you either change the players or you change the manager. And unfortunately, it seems you know Buck might take the fall, and Hefner might take the fall. If they don't change this, because so, like you said, something is going on in the clubhouse, which is contributing to this, because they got talent. So I think Lindor might be at the center of this. And I've heard some people say a possible trade. I don't know how realistic it is, but San Francisco has been always looking for another star player. They need a shortstop. They got a really great pitching prospect in Kyle Harrison. Remember, we did the Bell transfer, Zach Wheeler, with them a long time ago. So maybe we can do a repeat of that. We eat a lot of the money, and we send Lindor there. We get their best pitching prospect, and we move on. I think Lindor might be behind the clubhouse problems. What do you think?
I don't. Two things. Number one, they're not trading Lindor for two reasons. They're not going to – no team is going to take on that contract, and the Mets aren't going to pay half of it to have him go play somewhere else. So they need players. You know, who's playing short? You're going to tell me Ronnie Mauricio? That's not going to happen. Not with this team, not with this owner. So Lindor is going to be here to stay. And I don't think he's the problem, Jesse, and thank you for the call. He has been the problem in the past. Maybe he's part of a problem that's going on in that clubhouse. And I heard BT and Tiki talking about this. Maybe it was last week or a couple weeks ago. I think it was last week. The fact that Lindor owed McNeil a car. Remember he said if McNeil won the batting title, he'd buy him a car, and he still hasn't gotten him that. And I know that a lot of times in sports media now, we make stuff up to, you know, go viral or whatever. You know, people trying to make something out of nothing to get attention. I, for one, never do that and never want to do that. But, you know, I get sometimes people bring up different stories that, you know, just to try to change it up a little bit. I do think that that's a legitimate potential issue. I don't know for a fact, but if somebody promised me something, you know, Sal, if you ever get moved to the middays, I'm going to buy you a car. And then I get moved to the middays, and the person who promised that is not buying the car, it's going to be a problem. Right? I mean, wouldn't you feel like that's a problem? So I don't know if that's a big deal. I don't know what's going on there, but Lindor still hasn't paid up on that bet. That should have been something that should have been resolved spring training. And maybe that caused some teammates to lose respect for him. I don't know. I'm just speculating here. But again, I don't think Lindor is... This is not a one-player thing. This is not a one-guy thing. This is a team issue. And they need to figure it out. They need to have... I know Buck had the closed-door meeting. They need to air it out. I think it's gotten to a point now where somebody needs to call out somebody else, and there needs to be an airing out process. They can't be ignorant to the reality of their situation, which is not a good one. 877-337-6666. Stuart is calling from Brooklyn. Good morning, Stuart.
Oh, we're talking about the Mets and the Yankees.
You could talk whatever you want.
What?
You can talk about whatever you want.
Well, I'll say this much, Sal. When I rooted for your team back from 62 to 01.
Your team, because you were a Met fan before me.
Your team. What?
No, you were a Met fan before me.
Yeah, I was. Definitely. Okay. When I rooted for them, there were so many major disappointments, so many bad trades. I can name the three or four players that they did get of value were, first we'll start off with Keith, Gary Carter, Mike Piazza, Johan Santana, and, going into your era, and Al Leiter. And I rooted for them and rooted for them, and there were so many major disappointments, and then I figured out one thing, the coupons, the Wilpons, were the main driving force of all those major issues. Yes, they drafted Doc, they drafted Daryl, and they gave the town a short period of time where we thought that, oh, the Yankees are going to be demoted to second place, which they were never going to be demoted because the Mets had two runs like this of a gentleman's
bet. But in the 80s, they were. I mean, you lived through it. I lived through it as a kid. But the 80s, they were. The Mets, the last time the Mets were the premier team in this town, and there are a lot of people who are, you know, 30 years old or younger that don't know that there was a time when the Mets were the premier team in the town. So it's hard for people to fathom that.
I went to Shea Stadium so many times in the 80s with my friends. I'm sitting in the loge in left field, and Doc was in left field, and I say, hey, Doc. And he turns around and gives me two thumbs up. Or I was there.
Would you say you're a front runner?
What?
Would you say you're a front runner?
No.
Because I consider you a front runner. A front running
fan. Why I'm not a front runner? Because there was too many disappointments. Too many players that were out there that they could have gone and gotten, and they didn't spend the money.
Yeah, but then you left
to
go
to
root for the Yankees.
It's about winning. It's about winning. Okay? I was a Yankee fan in 57 to 62.
Right, when they were good.
No, that's what I knew. That's what I knew. Right. I went to the Mets because of Casey Stengel. I loved the old man. He was great. And Gil Hodges, who I loved, because I loved Gil Hodges. Okay? But then we went to, then I went to July 9th.
No, I think, yeah, but I think you're a front runner because you do flip-flop back and forth with your team.
I'm not flip-flopping back to the Mets, if you're asking that question. I'm not doing that.
No, not until they start winning.
No, not even.
If the Mets are in the World Series before the Yankees next, I think you're going to be a Mets fan. Who are you rooting for in 2015?
And what? The World Series?
No, well, yeah, that season, yeah.
I was rooting for the Mets to win the World Series, of course.
That's what I mean.
I wasn't rooting for Kansas City. No way. No way in hell. Yeah. Right. Who was I rooting for in 2000? The Mets. Why?
See?
I just told the Yankees to 0-1.
If I asked that question to a million people and they answered that the same way you just did, guess what a million of those people would be called?
Front runners.
No, Met fans. Yeah, Met fans.
I rooted for the Mets because I was still a Met fan. I went back to the Yankees after Benny Albiani opened up his mouth and said, we're going to beat the Yankees in 5 games. Okay. That wasn't cool.
Yeah.
That was,
well, unfortunately.
You know what that did, though, don't you? That was bulletin material for the Yankees. And guess what?
Isn't it? Yeah, as if they needed it. Isn't it crazy, though, Stewart?
Jose Vizcaino, Derek Jeter, Bernie Williams, amongst others.
Isn't it crazy, though, Stewart, that there was, and I'm saying it even to remind myself, there was a time with this city. And it wasn't that long ago. You know, it's not like we're talking about the 60s or 70s even. There was a time in this city that the Mets owned this town. They were the dominant team in this town.
You know why? Because they put together the team. And who put together that team? Frank Cashin.
Yeah.
Frank
Cashin. Well, I remember. I remember it, but it's just the bigger point that it has happened.
And it could very well happen again. I'm not saying
But it hasn't. It happened once in the 80s. Hasn't happened again.
Why? Because of the ownership and the people around the ownership advising.
But that's what made, now you're getting to the point, and that's what made it different to me this time. Is that it was a different ownership where I did not think the Mets were going to regress, especially so soon. Maybe having a bad year, having a bad year on occasion is fine. This right after that year is unacceptable.
Right after 101, right after winning 101 games? No. And like you said, and many people have said, they lost it when the Braves took it from them and they continued on against San Diego and they haven't gotten it back. And it's
what kind of car? What kind of car did you drive when you were in high school?
High school?
Yeah. Or college, I guess. I don't know. Like around then.
71 Duster.
1971
Duster.
How'd you feel about that? Did it make you feel confident?
What, the car? I had real.
Yeah, the car.
I had rear end work on that car and had 180 horsepower and it flew.
Yeah,
but
I'm
not like
saying.
My dad's Fury 3. My dad's Fury 3 flew like a bat out of hell.
Fury 3? What's that?
Plymouth Fury 3.
Oh, Plymouth Fury 3. I'm not familiar with it. All right.
Well, I had 300 horsepower, and it moved.
Because I feel like a young Stewart, and is why I asked it, I feel like a young Stewart was a little bit of a hot rodder.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. Me and my friend, we drag raced on Union Turnpike in the middle of rush hour.
See?
In the middle of rush hour. 5:15 traffic, we were drag racing.
Like swerving in between cars and stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that's no good.
That was nuts. Let me say this much to you. And you know where Union Turnpike is? Out in Queens, in Glen Oaks?
No.
It's where I used to live. From 260th Street up to the city line, me and my friend had a drag race. I was doing 100 miles an hour on Union Turnpike on a 66 Chevy Impala.
See, there you go. 66 Chevy Impala. Now you're talking.
Yeah, my father's Fury 3. I was doing 100 miles an hour after we paid the toll at Jones Beach parking lot.
You could drive a stick, 100. I'm assuming?
What?
You could drive a stick?
No.
Automatic. Oh, really?
No, I never
just went down a couple of pegs in my book.
No, I never drove a stick.
Well, all right, so you're not a real hot rod. Oh, it's interesting. Thank you for the call, Stewart. This is a new fact of the day with Stewart in Brooklyn. Learning what cars he drove in high school. And you could tell he was a little bit of a hot rodder. You know, with Stewart, you got to be careful with the driving, especially with the racing. As we did for a long time, and, you know, there were some issues there. But we love Stewart, of course, and he is a front runner. I don't care what he says. He is a front running fan.
Are you going to give Stewart your personal number so you guys can catch up like once a week, once a month?
Do you think BT will allow him to call the show? Like, give me a minute alone with Stewart at least so I could catch up, Fleegs?
Stewart, I love you. Don't take this personally. There might be other people, even in addition to BT, that maybe once a month, that might, listen, the overnight's a different animal. There's things we do here that you're not going to be able to do between 10 and 2.
So do you think it's over for Stewart now with me leaving, that it's going to be different for him moving forward with C-Mac?
No, I don't think it has to be over. Like, listen, every year when the Yankees announce that Cashman and Boone are coming back, you have to have Stewart on that day.
Right.
And then you'll find a few more moments.
And C-Mac and Stewart could be potentially explosive. Because
I've been thinking about it. They are going to get into it.
Right.
Rooting for the same team, they are going to, like, go you and Jimmy nuclear levels. And really, just Jimmy directing it at you. And they root for the same team.
Rooting for the same team, but one guy, C-Mac, protects Cashman. And I shouldn't say protect, but he likes Brian Cashman and thinks he does a good job, which is understandable. And Stewart hates him, irrationally just hates Brian Cashman and Boone, for that matter. So that could be an explosive combination there. I like it.
Sally, I mean, you're going to have to, like, when you think about it, if you're ever watching a Yankee game and Boone makes a questionable decision, like, set a reminder for yourself when you wake up in the morning and you're driving in for the midday to rewind and find Stewart calling C-Mac and the two of them screaming about it.
Not a bad idea. And you're going to have to let me know if you hear it, you know, if you're producing or whatever.
If I don't text you, I'll make sure to title it in the chapter so that when you scroll back, it'll clearly say 320, you know, Stewart and C-Mac fight over Aaron Boone.
I should probably stay in contact, though, with Stewart. I don't want to lose touch with him. But he doesn't even have a cell phone. I forget his deal. I don't even know if he's got a cell phone. I don't know. He's all over the place, Stewart. But that's why we love him. He's insane. He was funny, that Met game. Stewart, you want anything to eat? Yeah, I'll take chicken fingers and okay. Can you give me a soda, too? All right, here you go.
Listen, in many ways, Sal, Stewart is like your son.
Stewart is like my son?
Yeah, listen, he's very attached to you, wants to talk to you all the time. You know, he's asking you for chicken tenders and french fries and a soda.
I feel like he's like, and I don't know how old he is or what the age disparity is, but a part of me feels like Stewart is, you know, a grandfather to me.
That's fair, too. Listen, whatever the relation is, I think Stewart is your responsibility. You have to stay in touch with him. You mean too much to him.
I know, but I can't do that with all the callers now. And I've developed a relationship with a lot of them, believe
me. Listen, I think even everybody who's listened to this show when you've done it the last 2 years, every call, I mean, even Hector, you know, got Chris, you know, guys who love you will acknowledge. Stewart's different. You know, the amount of personal information that you've gotten from him over the last few years, the amount we've all learned about Stewart, he just hits on another level.
I mean, he admitted to a kill, for goodness sake. You were there, Fleegs. You heard that one.
I'm cracking up now. Poor Rami has no idea what's going on. Listen, I wasn't going to say it. You said it now that it's out there. He did.
Right, made it happen. We talked about it. He's opened up to us, and we appreciate that.
Listen, I've been answering Stewart's calls for over a decade. He called Tony all the time, called you all the time. I mean, he is just an all-time great WFAN caller.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's one of the number one things that I get. It's one of the first things that I get when people talk to me and say, oh, I love you on the overnights. I love listening. And that Stewart is something else. I can't believe some of the stuff that it's one of the first. It's that and, oh, I love when you lose it on callers. Those are the two things people love the most. And probably neither of them are going to happen on the midday show. Uh-oh, I'm in trouble. Who am I going to yell at? Where's Stewart? I need to find somebody to yell at. And I need to find somebody that can entertain the way Stewart did when he called up.
All the banned overnight callers can find their way to the midday. Pete Hoffman won't know that they're banned from your show, and someone will sneak through.
There's a list of at least two, and you know who both of them are, that there's no way they're getting through to any show that I'm on ever again. End of story. I mean, that's it. I don't care what day it is. If I see him on the line, I won't talk to him. So BT can talk to him if he wants. I'm not. You know who the two are, right?
Of course I do. I just mentioned one of them.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not dealing with it, especially now. See ya!
You know who we haven't heard from in a while, and this is a great overnight reminiscing? Remember Lee in Brooklyn, who was calling a lot during the Knicks-Hawks playoff series?
Yeah, where is he?
I haven't heard from him in forever, but I just remember he called up and just, you know, you can never criticize anybody because they're trying hard.
I do remember that. Yeah, that was frustrating. That was in the beginning, kind of.
Losses are okay because they went out there and, you know, tried their best, good sportsmanship, all that stuff, as we're watching Trae Young just, you know, destroy the Knicks and stomp on all of our hearts.
Right. Oh, you can't yell at these guys. They tried hard. Yeah, but, I mean, come on. That's great. But the reality is you need to be better. I do remember Lee in Brooklyn. Good pull. I forgot about him.
Add WFAN to your contacts to talk New York sports with us at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Sal Licata back on the Fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Yankees get another win, two straight after dropping four straight and, you know, losing to the Mets last week, then getting swept by the Red Sox over the weekend. The off day did the Yankees some good as they come back and now have won two straight against Seattle. We'll look for the sweep later on tonight before the Rangers come to town. David is calling from California. What's up, David? David, you there? David, are you with us? David on a little bit of a West Coast delay. James is calling from Freeport, New York. What's up, James?
Hey, Sal. How you doing, my friend?
Good. James, how are you?
Good. Congratulations on your move.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
You can go yell at Kearney now every day for being a Yankee fan.
You better believe it. Right. I don't have to wait for somebody to call to yell. Him and I are going to be in the ring right there. Let's go.
I think he said today that if this was a couple of years ago, you guys wouldn't be able to work together in the same room.
Well, and I understand why he was saying that. And maybe on his end, that would be the case. On my end, look, I think working with anybody can be a challenge, especially if you talk about, you know, 5 years ago, less mature, less developed, whatever it may be. But I still think it would have worked. It just would have been different. And maybe a little more explosive than it might be now. Look, I don't know. I mean, we'll find out together.
Absolutely. Soon enough. Before I get to my Mets point, going out to Colorado, I know you've been to a lot of stadiums. Anything to look forward to?
I love that ballpark. I think it's a great ballpark. Very underrated. There's not a ton to it as far as, like, the surrounding areas. But the ballpark itself, I thought, is very cool, very clean, good food, good drink, good scene, around, you know, from your seats there. I like the ballpark. I think it's underrated.
Well, I'll let you know about it when I get back. Going next week.
Enjoy it. Yeah.
As far as the Mets, I think last year Buck had more autonomy when it came to the lineup and making decisions. You said a couple of weeks ago we were making the lineup. Didn't know exactly what that meant. But he just doesn't look the same. And I think there's some more analytics this year that's going on. And I'm a traditionalist, so I don't like the analytics at all. But I don't think Buck is happy either. So I don't know.
Well, I know he's not happy. I mean, you could look at him and see, and you know that he's not happy. The problem is, or the question is, how's he going to fix it? That's the thing. Buck is... He's been saying the same thing all year long, and the team just has not responded here. Buck himself has had a bad year. It's been ugly all around,
Buck
from top to bottom.
McNeil's not hitting.
Right,
Nimmo's
that's
not
one.
Getting on base. Nimmo's making bad base decisions. And it's all around.
Playing bad defense. They're bad on the base paths. The bullpen's been bad. The starters have been awful. I mean,
you look at today, they scored 8 runs. You can't win. So they're scoring and they can't win. They don't score and
I think SNY gave this stat, and I forget the exact number. I'm going to take a guess here and give a rough estimate. But I think they've lost 11 games this year when scoring six runs or more. Think about that.
You can't do that.
The Mets, like the Mets over the course of their history, it's hard to, you know, because the team's usually built on pitching. Hard to imagine them losing many games when you score six runs or more, and they've already lost 11 games this year when that has been the case. That's unacceptable.
Well, hopefully they go, you know, I'm still an optimist. You go to Philly, you sweep Philly, you're only three back. You tread water for a little bit, and then hopefully
James,
you meet up on the bad teams.
James, it's over.
Not happening.
You got to let it go. It's over. Now, I'm not saying don't watch and don't enjoy it. Thank you for the call and enjoy Colorado. Have you been, Fleegs, to Colorado, that ballpark? I know you've been around.
I haven't been to Colorado at all.
Yeah, it's a very underrated. Now, you're not going to put a top five, but to me, it could be bottom of the top 10 and definitely middle of the pack, if not. But only because some of the other ones were that much better. It's nothing wrong with Colorado. I really enjoyed that ballpark. Very cool. You got to let it go with the Mets, though. It's over. This season's a lost cause. Hey, you watch it. You enjoy it. That's fine. It's not happening. If they sweep the Phillies, like how many times are they going to be? Well, yeah, if they sweep the Phillies and then go take three or four from the Brewers and then win a series from the Giants, you know, do something they haven't done all year long in 3 months so far, actually win some series consecutively, yeah, then maybe they could make a run and be in it. Or they could get swept by the Phillies and lose three out of four to the Brewers and lose two out of three to the Giants and the Diamondbacks and the Padres. And then officially have the nail put in their coffin going into the All-Star break. It's a lost year. You knew it. I'm telling you, you don't want to acknowledge it. You don't want to believe in signs. This year was lost before the first pitch was ever thrown. When Edwin Diaz went down in the Worthless Baseball Classic for celebrating a win, that was the end of the Mets season. It ruined everything. E. Frank is calling from Astoria. What's up, E. Frank?
Yes, we're going to miss you a lot during this time slot, so don't worry about it. Everything will probably be very fine at the midday. But,
well,
you know,
I just wanted to
want to give a congratulatory remark to the Denver Nuggets, how they had a lot of patience to last the whole season and finally win the NBA championship. And I want to find out if you think there are going to be new changes for the New York Knicks and the Brooklyn Nets, and if Kevin Durant may be coming back somehow.
Oh, what? Where? What do you mean Kevin Durant coming back?
I mean, did he retire yet?
No, he's playing with Phoenix.
So there's no possibility, because I was listening to another show that says they're going to trade many players, they're going to make many changes in other NBA teams. And you know there's a new head coach there with the Toronto Raptors, right?
Okay, KD, you're talking about Kevin Durant coming back to the Nets?
Yeah.
No, God no. E. Frank, I don't know where you're getting that, and thank you for the call, I think. No way. There's no chance. Do you remember how it went down? It wasn't that long ago. You think he's ever coming back here?
I tried to explain E. Frank to Rami while training him, and nothing I could come up with could do a better job than that call.
Goodness. And I was just thinking, wow, we haven't heard from E. Frank in a while. And now I know why. I remember why. Look, the Knicks, I don't know how significant their changes will be. I think at this point, the most significant thing the Knicks will do is potentially trade Obi Toppin. Like, if they make a big move, that would be it, to trade Obi Toppin. For what? For who? I don't know. Outside of that, I think it's going to be bit parts, which could help. You know, we've seen that happen before where they make an acquisition that doesn't have the sexiness to it that is very impactful and positive on the club. You know, Josh Hart wasn't the sexiest deal last year at the deadline, but it was a good one for the Knicks. Maybe something similar to that in the offseason. They have to add. They have to bring in more shooting. You can't go into the year with the same roster and not acknowledge that you desperately need somebody or somebodies who can shoot the basketball. Who will that be? No idea yet. But Kevin Durant is not going anywhere. He's going to stay in Phoenix. James is calling from Atlanta. What's up, James? Good morning.
Hey, good morning to you, sir. I called, told your the Schreeder guy. Congrats, man, on your time slot. And I say it, you know, you're a father, I've learned, and that's got to be huge for you to be able to have that, you know, not overnight time and then, you know, go into the daytime morning slot to be able to, I don't know, normalcy, you know. But you will be missed as a new fan of your show in the middle of the night. You know, I'm not, again, I'm a night person, and I'm not up at 10 to, I think your slot is 10 to mm-hmm. 2. But, I mean, for real, though, like, I mean, well-earned. They talk, I say it again, they talked about it on Chuck and Chernoff that this was going to happen.
Wait, what do you mean? They said it after the fact, or you're talking about before?
No, before. They said it when the guy that's leaving going to the, I don't know the lineup on the your whole show, the whole station.
You're talking about Craig Carton. Craig Carton announced that he was leaving a week ago,
Yes, and Matt said, what if Sal got, you know, the daytime slot, you know? I mean, again, we joke.
What if? You see, because Matt, he's not as dumb as he thinks, or as we think he is sometimes, or as he sounds at times. He's not, so he knows the deal. He knew the deal.
He does. He does.
Yeah, well, he knows. And he, you know, he should say, well, what if Sal got that job? And he's thanking his lucky stars. Do you know why, James?
Huh?
Because I wasn't going to do overnights much longer. And there was a chance I would have come down to Atlanta and dominated his show on the ratings. And I would have been number one in Atlanta. I would be number one. I could be number one in Atlanta from New York. That's how good I am. He's lucky. And Matt Chertoff running his mouth last year. Oh, his little overnight show in New York. Well, what do you got to say now?
Like, hey, it's a big old touche. You know what I mean? But listen, like, for real, though. I mean,
well, it's a big old touche, or it's a big old something else. And you know what the something else is. And so does he.
I gotcha. But no, like, father to father and, you know, person to person, whatever. I mean, mm-hmm. I know that I've worked nights in my life and kids, the whole thing. I know this has got to be a big, just the schedule change has got to be a happy thing for you. And,
well, truthfully, James, it hasn't really sunk in yet. Like, I gotta get through this week, and this is the last overnight for me this week. I'll be doing afternoons tomorrow, filling in with Keith, and then next week I have a couple of days off that were planned way in advance, and then I have the final three overnights of my career the end of next week, and then from there I can start to try to process what my schedule is going to be like, and it's going to be. Look, this is a life changing thing for me.
In a
very good way, obviously, but it hasn't really hit me yet. So I'm excited for it. And by the way, that's just the schedule part of it, you know, like the lifestyle. More importantly to me is the opportunity that I'm now going to have doing mm-hmm. a day part on the number one sports station in the world. So the reach is far greater than it is on the overnight. As much as I love the overnight and the audience and all that stuff, obviously more people listen during the day. So I want to make a name for myself. I want to make more of an impact. Yeah. So that is what I'm excited about most.
Are you working with side by side with was it Tiki Barber, or is this just
no
you?
No? I'm working with Tiki Barber's former partner Brandon Tierney. It is me and Brandon Tierney.
Gotcha. Man, like, real talk, I mean, obviously you earned it. I told you over the past couple of weeks that, you know, I became a fan of your show through the whole little joke and thing with Chernoff and all that. But, mm-hmm. I mean, obviously you're good, dude. And I congratulate you and all the success in the world. And, you know, it's going to be wild, the waking up schedule thing from nights to days. But I wish you all the best, man.
Thank you, James. And send my best to everybody in Atlanta, all right? All my fans in Atlanta, tell them I said hello. And thank you for their support.
I will.
All right, James, take care. See, I love that. I'm number one in Atlanta. Not Chuck and Chernoff or whatever their show is called. I'm number one in Atlanta. And I'm in New York. He should be happier than I am to get this job. Knowing that I'm not coming down there and dominating his show. God. The NL East is over. Who would have thought? I'll tell you, I swear, when I said that, I never in a million years thought that it would cause any fuss whatsoever. You know, like I was saying before, I think there are people now in the business who try to do stuff to get attention and try to say stuff to go viral or whatever. I couldn't care less. I don't want the attention. Leave me alone. And that particular thing, which blew up, that particular thing, I swear to you, when I said at the time, I didn't even give it a second thought. I was like, please, this is embarrassing. Like, who doesn't think that the division is over? You want me to say this as like a strong opinion? Everybody knows the division is over. And then, of course, the second the words come out of my mouth, the Braves go on a 10-game winning streak. And by the way, if I, or whatever it was, 14-game winning streak. By the way, if I'm the jinx and I was the problem, like Met fans say, oh, you cost the Mets the division, you big mouth, you jinx, don't make any more predictions. Well, how come when I said the NL East is over this year and it belongs to the Braves, how come the Braves just pulled further away from the crappy Mets? How come that's the case if it's my fault? I'm the jinx. So it must have been only last year, right? Just last year in that circumstance, it was me. Or was it that the Braves were that much better than the Mets? You can say I was wrong about my prediction, because obviously I was at least half wrong. You know, it didn't take the Braves seriously enough. But you could say I was wrong about it. You can't say that I was a jinx. So stupid. The NL East is over. It belongs to the Braves. Said that a month ago. Since then, the Mets have fallen further back in the division. Now, if the Marlins win that division from Atlanta, then I'll admit I am a jinx. And I'll enjoy the hell out of it.
I'm done with subscriptions. Streaming, fitness, razors, vitamins. I've got subscriptions for everything in my life. They lock you in, and half the time, I can't figure out how to unsubscribe. That's why I'm so excited about the new Blue Apron. Now you can get delicious meals delivered with no subscription needed, including new pre-made options. Keep the flavor. Ditch the subscription. Get 20% off your first two orders with code APRON20. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour with opportunities to grow their career and their paycheck. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Speak your mind at 877-337-6666. Powered by Superbook Sports. Visit superbook.com.
Back on the fan, 877-337-6666 is the number to call. Talking Yankees, talking Mets, talking career changes, whatever's on your mind on this Thursday morning as we go a little 5 a.m., the warm-up show with Al and Jerry. Jack is calling from the Upper West Side. What's up, Jack?
Hey, Sal. You know, you were a few weeks ahead of me in terms of, you know, throwing in the towel and calling the East over. And I know you kind of held out a little bit for the playoffs. And but I have to say, today kind of felt like my put a fork in them day. You know, I just felt like they're done today. You know, there's so much blame to go around that I don't think you can fairly put it on any one entity or person. But, you know, Lindor, I feel like we all know that this situation with the car, it just smells so bad. It just like it's something that so commonly offends us. And so it's just hard to imagine how much that kind of got into the kind of the vibe in the clubhouse. And I was thinking about, like, I don't really know whether Lindor is a good guy or a bad guy. He says lots of good things. He seems, you know, he's a family man. You know, there's lots to admire. You know, he's a great defender.
He plays hard. He plays every day. I mean, he's leaving the hospital, the birth of a child, and he's going out to the ballpark to be a part of the team in the eighth inning. I mean, there's a lot of things about Francisco Lindor to love.
For sure, and I'm not here to defend him or to. I can't fully indict him because I don't have all the facts. But the thing is, for me, we all know that he played better in Cleveland than he's played here consistently, and. When they traded for him and they had a year to sort of feel him out and see how he could handle New York and everything it entails, I feel like when they gave him that extension, my worst fears have come true, which is that gave him enormous power in the clubhouse and on the team because you commit 11 years and a ton of money to a guy and everybody knows it. Everybody knows he's not going anywhere. And so, you know, when I think about how that affects clubhouse dynamics and even the relationship with a manager, like, to me, the other part of this call was that I really feel that Buck has not held anyone accountable. There's been no accountability. And I think, like today, Hefner said, you know, he said he had no answers, but he also said something about guys having trouble with the way the ball was coming out of their hands and, you know, and as if the ball was... I just feel that there's a culture of excuses for underperformance, and people say no excuses, but there's no one ever pays a consequence for a mental mistake or anything. So I think you're right. There is something just kind of rotten at the core, and sadly, Buck, who was obviously one of the great minds in the history of baseball. You know, I almost feel as if he went so far to the side of becoming being a player's manager who always sort of backs his guys and never throws anybody under the bus. But I just think there's an emptiness on the team that when they make mistakes, nothing happens.
Yeah, and I don't understand how not one of them can come out and like I said, Buck has alluded to it. It was after Atlanta where Buck was talking about positives, this and that.
Yeah, he was proud of him for fighting back.
Right. In that same post-game press conference, he did say, you've got to be truthful with yourself and you got to be able to look in the mirror. So I think he's gotten that message across to the players. He may not have said it directly to the media so we could see it. I have to believe Buck has gotten that message across to the players that you got to be honest and truthful with yourself, and we just haven't been good enough right now. But I don't know if the players believe that. There's got to be some kind of issue there, Jack, that it just doesn't add up. The talent that this team has, the success that they had a year ago, there's no way it adds up to this bad for this long this year.
For sure, and I think any of us who've ever been on a team know that there's always going to be somebody on any good team who kind of, you know, reads the riot act, blows a gasket, lets everybody know what flies, what doesn't fly. We just don't have that sense about this team. I do think Buck needs his share of criticism for just, you know, ridiculously bad decisions. So he's had a rough year. I mean, maybe he's had no good cards to play. That's arguable. But there's something missing. There's really something missing in the heart of the team. Like Tommy Pham, you know, he's the only guy who sort of exudes like I'm pissed or I'm angry and I'm playing with ferocity. And we see other teams, the way other teams play. We see the way the Braves just, they just kick sand in our face all day long. And I just,
yeah, the Mets stand there and take it.
Think about the Mets teams we loved. You know, they didn't take any crap from anybody. They didn't, you know, so. So anyway, it's
well Jack, what's the one thing I've been talking about with this team? What's the one word that I've been using to describe them?
Oh, gee, Sal. My mind's spinning.
Well, that's right. I'll tell you. Soft. And thank you for the call, as always. They're soft. That's it. I mean, you just mentioned it. They get dirt kicked in their face. They stand there and take it. They don't punch back. They see the Braves. They run the other way. They don't have it. The team's got no guts. They don't have any heart. They're soft. I'm not saying that each individual player doesn't have heart. I do think Francisco Lindor, Pete Alonso, those guys playing every game and want to be out there and play. I do think there's a long list of players, though, on this team who may have the want to, or whatever Buck Showalter wants to say. They're soft. This team as a whole, as a group, is soft. It's been proven. I'd love for them to prove me wrong for once. They had the division stolen from them last year, head-to-head. All they had to do was win one lousy baseball game, and they made that seem impossible. Couldn't do it. And this year's even worse. Have not recovered, and they can't figure it out. They talk like they believe in themselves. They talk like they think they're good. They don't. They either don't believe it. They're either not good or they don't believe they're good. And they're just flat out soft. 8-7, and you know, worse than that is done. Irrelevant. Like, that's where we're at here with this team. 8-7, and even with that, there's still a part of me that believes that they're going to go on at least one run. You know, 8 of 10, something like that. They will go on that type of run to get us sucked back in and maybe believing in the team again, only to disappoint. But they have to have some kind of run. And even the crappy teams go on a run. And that's what they've been this year. Maybe they'll go on a run at some point. What does that mean? You know, will it result in a playoff appearance? No, I don't think so. But I still do believe they have to have at least a little run in them.
To remind you that 60% of sales on Amazon come from independent sellers, here's John from Devil Dog Pet Company.
We run our family business from Sterling Heights, Michigan, but we can reach customers all over the country thanks to Amazon. Good boy.
Shop small business on Amazon.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This is Free Range with Von Miller, the podcast where I step outside the lines and I take you with me. Each week, we're talking everything from the biggest stories around the league to the biggest stories off the field. This isn't your average sports podcast. This is game meets culture, locker room meets living room, and no topic is off limits. So if you're into good conversations that ruffle a few feathers, join me every Wednesday and follow Free Range with Von Miller everywhere you get your podcast.
Crimes Of is a weekly series that explores a new theme each season, starting with the true crimes that inspired Hollywood's most iconic horror villains.
Listen to and follow Crimes Of, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life, all told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house, something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.